starting Moses, with Moses, Exodus chapter 3. This is after the encounter at the, well, this is during the encounter at the burning bush, where he protests in Exodus 3. He's called in verse 10, "Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt." So here's objection number one, Moses says. Objection number one comes in the next verse, verse 11. "But Moses protested to God, 'Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?'" His second objection comes in Exodus 4. "But Moses protested again, 'What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you?'" His third objection comes in verse 10, Exodus 4, verse 10. "But Moses pleaded with the Lord, 'O Lord, I'm not very good with words. I have never been, and I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled.'" And then Moses' fourth objection is comes later in verse 13. "But Moses again pleaded, 'Lord, please send anyone else.'" So what I love about Moses is, you know, we all know who, you know, what he goes on to do. He is revered almost more than anybody in all the Old Testament as far as a Jewish leader. And I just love how we can clearly see his reluctance to go with God. And it doesn't end there. You know, he's given promises that God is going to deliver people out of Egypt, that he's given promise that he's going to be successful. So here we see in Exodus chapter 5, after he's had one of his first encounters with the Pharaoh, in Exodus chapter 5, verse 19, "The Israelite foremen could see that they were in serious trouble when they were told, 'You must not reduce the number of bricks you make each day.' As they left Pharaoh's court, they confronted Moses and Aaron, who were waiting outside for them. The foreman said to them, May the Lord judge and punish you for making a stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword in their hands, an excuse to kill us.' Then Moses went back to the Lord and protested, 'Why have you brought all this trouble on your own people, Lord? Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people. And you have done nothing to rescue them.'" Imagine that. Why is Moses complaining here? He's been given promises that God is going to do this and do that, and promises that they were going to be led out of Egypt. Why is Moses complaining? And I think we all know that Moses is expecting things to go smoothly. Moses is expecting Pharaoh just to listen to what he says. Moses is just expecting, his expectations are on the people he's dealing with. And Moses is just the tool that God's using, right? So Moses is given the message he's told to give. Pharaoh is being, you know, his heart is being hardened, of course, all along this time. And he's making it difficult. He's digging in his heels and making life hell and miserable for these Hebrew workers. And so the Hebrew workers are clueless to what's going on. They have no idea God's ways. They have no idea God's purposes through what Moses is doing here. They don't see God. They don't understand God. All they know is that their quota has gone up, and they need to get to the straw for themselves. That's a bitch. I'm telling you, that would be lousy. So, right? So you can't fault these workers for complaining to Moses. And Moses is in between them all. Moses is just doing what he's told to do, and Pharaoh is rejecting him, right? So he's being rejected by Pharaoh. He's being rejected by the very people he's come to help save. I mean, you talk about being in a pickle. It's very similar to Jeremiah. where Jeremiah is doing all he's supposed to do, and he's just rubbing people the wrong way, and they don't want to do anything he says. So, and, you know, I'm not even listening to Jeremiah. I mean, we could go on and on this morning. But Moses, he's being an obedient servant of God. And look at the crap he's getting. So, excuse me for my language. I'm probably more liberal than I should with my words. And I apologize for that. So Moses is arguing. He's complaining, and I couldn't disagree with him. You know, why did you send me? I just love that. God puts him in a place to really question everything, and God doesn't really answer this. By the way, God doesn't really really answer his concerns here directly. He just tells them to keep on going. So anyway, I want to turn to Exodus chapter 33. After all the miracles and witnessing God, chapter 33, verse 12, one day Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses. I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name." So I love this exchange. So clearly, Moses has gone far beyond the 10 plagues. He's gone beyond the Red Sea. He's seen God. He's experienced God. So he's a mature person. He's been through the ringer, so to speak, with all that stuff. And there's no way you could compress that time. It's just how God used all that stuff to shape Moses into a great mature man of God that he is. In Exodus 33, he says, if it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways. Let me know your ways so I may understand you more. He's asking for more understanding. Imagine that. Moses, this is one of those personal encounters, I think, on the mountain, if I recall. He's asking for a more understanding to continue enjoying his favor. So I just love that. It shows how Moses has matured over the course of time. So in many more ways, he's surrendering at a greater level.